This morning, we are officially starting our Christmas season here at the church. We have decorations up. Aren't they beautiful? We have all sorts of things starting to happen. And we're kicking off a brand new message series that we're simply titling it Advent. Advent, a word that maybe many of you have heard growing up, depending on what sort of church tradition you grew up in. Advent is a liturgical thing, which means there are a lot of churches that follow a very specific Sunday by Sunday calendar of what they talk about and all of that, and Advent and Lent and those types of things are on those calendars. For us, we don't really do things in that way. We are more like we sit down together as a staff and we pray prayerfully, just kind of say, where do we feel like God is taking our church? But as we were preparing for this season, prayerfully trying to figure out where should we go with the month of December, one of the staff members, Pastor Josiah, just kind of threw out this idea of, you know, have you ever looked at what Advent is? And I was like, well, not really, because I didn't really grow up in a tradition that did that. And I began to look at this, and it was like God began to move in different ways inside of me, inside of us, and it just was a really cool thing. So Advent is a tradition type of piece to a church, but what it is the word Advent, very very simply, just means this. Do I have a slide from that? It's a purposed season of preparation for what is coming. I don't have a slide, but I had lost my place. So a purposed season for what is coming. It's preparing ourselves for Christmas, preparing ourselves for the birth of Christ and celebrating that in the proper way. Why does this matter? I mean, we just talked about this a moment ago, how our culture in America, like the American Christmas season, is chaotic. It's amazing chaotic at times, but it's like, and if very simply, if we are not purposeful with this, we can very easily miss it. We can miss it. It's like a kid who's going to a birthday party, and he gets there, and he's got a present, and he brings the present, and he pins the tail on the donkey, and he eats the cake, and they sing, and he's having fun, and there's inflatables and a petting zoo. This is a great birthday party, by the way. Not my kids, but some of yours, maybe. And it's this incredible birthday party, and he gets in the car afterwards. Mom comes and picks him up, and Mom says, oh, how was your time? Did you wish little Johnny a happy birthday? And the kid's like, I didn't even talk to Johnny. I didn't even, like, and it's just like you realize you can go through something and miss the entire purpose and reason that you were there, okay? So being purposeful this season, and then we assure ourselves we won't miss Jesus, okay? So we're doing stuff in kids' church. Your kids, if they're up there right now, they are learning this stuff. It's on, they have a day-by-day thing actually on their Zoom Kids Facebook page that you can follow to help them. Wednesday nights, our teenagers are looking at this topic as well, talking about it. We have devotionals that are set up for you to be reading every single day. If you have not found those, they've been on our Facebook page, and there was an email and a text message that was sent out to those that are on our contact list. If you haven't found those, you can find it on our Facebook page or talk to one of the pastors. We can hook you up. It's just a devotional, an online thing where you read something every single day. We are trying to set you up to not miss Jesus this Christmas. That's what this is about, and that's really what this idea of Advent is. And so enough of an introduction, though. I want us to start this part of the service just by praying together. So please stand with me all over this place, and let's just take a moment to kind of ask God to do something significant here during this time. So, Lord, we look to you with grateful hearts, with hungry hearts, desperate for you, as we sang about a few moments ago. God, we want to hear your voice. We want to hear what you have for us today. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Use your very, very word and let that come out in such a powerful way and change the way that we think. And so, God, we give you this time. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, elbow somebody and go ahead and have a seat. Okay, here we go. Some of you do not care at all about this, but how many of you watched the Vikings game last week? Okay, Right, like some of you were like, yes, and the others were like, oh, here we go, okay? I know some of us don't care, but I want to use this as an illustration, so just hang out with me for a little bit. If you didn't know, the Vikings are a football team here in Minnesota, and they wear purple. So for those, we're all on the same page. But the Vikings have had a difficult season. They haven't been as good as everybody thought they would be. They've lost to bad teams a few times. They've played really well against good teams and then blew it at the end. Like, it's been a difficult season for the Minnesota Purple football team. But even though it's been rough, they're kind of still hanging on to the possibility of making the playoffs right now. And just a little less than half the teams actually make the playoffs, which you play off and then you end in the Super Bowl is what that is. Well, the reason that I bring any of this up is that last Sunday after church, the Vikings won in a very dramatic kind of way for those that watched it. They were losing for a big portion of the game, and it came down to like the last 30 seconds or so, and there was a play that was made, and it was, and we made the big play, and we won the game. It was an exciting game if you're a Vikings fan. Well, one of the storylines from that game was that one of the Vikings' best players, a wide receiver named Adam Thielen, wasn't able to play. He had tested positive for COVID the week, and so he wasn't He could not play. Like, one of the best players for our team was at home last Sunday watching the game with his family, just like you and I, if you were watching that. But the cool part was his wife actually shot a video of him reacting to the very end of the game, all right? And I want to show you this video. It's about 30 seconds long. Put this thing on.
What's the flag for? No! What's the flag for? What's the flag for?
Looks like it's on the defense.
Yes! 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 Come on! Come on! Let's go! Let's go! That's a big time play! Yes! 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 You gotta be kidding me! You gotta be kidding me! Let's go!
All right, okay? Obviously, he's a bit fired up. Would you agree? All right, now understand, he's a little more than a fan. This is like his team. He personally knows the players that he's watching. He practices, travels with them, like significantly invested. But if you're a Vikings fan, then you sit kind of there and you watch a situation like that, like sitting on the edge of your seat, filled kind of with this hope that the outcome is going to be positive. Okay? Are you with me on that? There's 30 seconds left in the game. We're down by 6 points. We have the ball. We're right there. We just need to make a play. And the quarterback drops back, and emotionally, we're just connected to this moment, hoping that he's going to make this play. The word that I want to focus on is the word hope. Hope. We are hoping for what we want to happen to happen. Well, the Advent season is really broken up into four different words specifically: hope, peace, joy, and love. And the tradition is we kind of take a week and we focus on these four different things, biblically looking at all of that. Now, so week one here is the word hope. Now, hope is an interesting word. In a way, it's kind of like the word love. Now, let me explain what I mean. What I mean by that is that you can use the word hope in a number of different ways, kind of like we use the word love. I love God, I love my wife, but I also love tacos. How many of you know what I'm talking about, okay? We use this word love in an interesting way almost at different levels at time. Well, a child can hope to get a certain gift for Christmas. We can hope that the homemade bread turns out a certain way, or hope that our server at a restaurant comes and fills up our Pepsi in the way. Okay, we can hope that a certain person becomes president and hope that our kids go back to school soon. We can hope for snow and hope for sun And at times, hope for rain, okay, when we need that. You can hope that this sermon will be short. You can hope, all right? And we can sit on the edge of our seats watching the final 2 minutes of a game, if that's your thing, hoping that they will make that play, hoping that they will do that. Now, the definition of the word hope is this: a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. It's this feeling of expectation and desire for something very specific to happen. But hope is also a word that we use when we talk about pain, isn't it? Okay? We talk about the situations that we face in our lives, the bad circumstances, divorce and pain and cancer and disease, and like we want there to be hope. We want there to be hope, hope that things will get better. And we kind of change the way that we see it from I am hoping for something to I want there to actually be hope. And when we say it in that second way, what we're really saying is I want to believe that the expectation or desire that I have is going to happen. I want there to be hope. I want there to be this belief right here. And we use this word in church. We talk about the hope of Jesus. And here's right where I want to transition, because I think this is something that people are getting wrong in the church. And I want to talk about that. Okay, write this down. And here's the direction we're going to really take today. Write this down and we're going to talk it out a bit. Okay, if your hope in God is tied to your earthly circumstances, at some point you will feel that God has let you down. I'm going to say that again, okay? And some of us, like, this is not going to compute for a while. We're going to have to get there. But if your hope in God is tied to your earthly circumstances, at some point you will feel that God has let you down. And we do this all the time as Christians. We talk about the hope that we have in Jesus, and what we often mean by that is that because of Jesus and what he has done, there is hope for my loved one who has cancer. And I lost my job, but there's still hope. And we use Jesus in a way as there is hope for the situations and the difficulties that I am facing. And we tie our hope in God to those types of things. But listen, here's the issue. At some point, you will pray for somebody that you love and they're going to die. At some point, someone in your family is going to be terminally ill in some way, and you are going to cry out to God, and there's going to be maybe even people praying. We may even pray for them by name from the front right here, and they're going to die. Still, it's a reality, okay? In fact, let's just take it this far. Unless Jesus, like, comes back and all of that, like, listen, and makes everything right, your loved ones will die. Why? Because of the simple fact that in this broken, sin-filled world, everybody dies. Everybody dies. Now, don't misunderstand me here. We pray for physical healing at this church. We believe that God does that, okay? But follow me in this, and I hope that this doesn't come across in the wrong way. But when we pray for a terminally ill person to be miraculously healed, what we are actually praying for is for that person to live a little longer. Do you hear what I'm saying? Think that through a little bit, to live a little bit longer. God, please heal my mother of this cancer so she doesn't die right now, is really what that means. See, we are so limited in our understanding that, like, the idea of eternity and forever, like, we have kind of put that into 80 or 85 or 90 years right here and right now. But very simply, the reality is that what we experience here on this earth is nothing but like a blip on the radar screen of eternity. Like we're like a mist here today and gone tomorrow. Understand, all of our lives will come to an end here on earth. Okay, Merry Christmas. Let's close in prayer. Okay, and then we're going to, okay. I'm kidding, but this matters so greatly. Why does it matter? Because people are constantly coming to us as pastors. Well, probably the number one or top few things that we get from people is, why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this? Just on Wednesday night, I had a teenager come up to me and just say, why did God make COVID? Why did God make COVID? Why did God create the coronavirus was the question. And I understand these questions, but these questions are rooted in a gigantic misunderstanding of the hope that we have in Jesus. It's a perspective problem. We aren't seeing things in the right way from the right place. I was reading something this week, and the author was telling a story about how he likes to walk in these trails around his house, like out in the woods. And he's from somewhere in Europe, and it's this beautiful hilly place, I'm sure. But he was explaining that he walks the same trail in these woods every single day. A little bit of an older guy, it's an exercise type of thing, and it's important to him. And he talked about how there's this one specific spot in the trail where there was an option actually to take a different path, but that he had never taken that direction because it was like super overgrown. Very few people ever went that way. It was even muddy. Like you look down and you're like, I'm not going down there. But one day, as he's on his walk, he notices that at the entrance of this kind of offshoot, there's a little signpost. It's been covered up by the trees and you can barely see it. And he walks over and he kind of moves the thing and he reads the sign, four letters on the sign with an arrow. And it said, view, with an arrow this way. He's like, view? What in the world is going on? And so he's like, today I'm going down this way. And so he takes this offshoot, he goes, and it's overgrown. The branches are smacking him in the face. There's roots he's tripping over on the ground. It's muddy at some places. It's this, it's exactly what he thought it was. But all of a sudden, the trail opens up to this magnificent, elevated view of the forest below. And not only the forest, but this entire little village down over here. And he talks about this magnificent thing that he just kind of stumbled upon. But understand, it's all about perspective. You can be in the same exact place, but if you're not careful, all you will ever see are the trees closing in on you, the roots trying to trip you, the branches trying to whack you in the face. From the other perspective, right in that same place, you see the glory and the amazingness of this perfect view for miles and miles and miles. Now, with the few minutes that we have left here, I want us to look together at one of the most famous chapters in all the Bible, Romans chapter 8. If you didn't know, the book of Romans was this letter that was written by a man named Paul, the Apostle Paul, maybe you've heard that. And he writes this letter to these people, these Christians who are living in the city of Rome. That's why we got Romans. This is to the Romans, is what this is. Now understand, really quickly, this is first century Rome. First century Rome. In the glory days of the Roman Empire is what this looked like. All right? They were truly the superpower of the world, but this is also a very dangerous place to be a Christian. Okay, in Rome, Caesar is Lord was everywhere. It was printed on their coins. It was chiseled into the arches of buildings. It was on their propaganda. It was everywhere you look. Caesar is Lord. And these Christians are attempting to live as though Jesus is Lord in a place where Caesar is Lord. Life is difficult. Life is dangerous. In the coming years, Christians are going to be fed to lions in the Colosseum. You can read about this in history. If your hope, think about this with these people. If your hope is in God fixing your current situations and circumstances, and then a family member is fed to the lions because of their faith, it's going to be difficult for you to continue to trust in Jesus. Do you agree with me? You understand? If your hope is tied to that, and again, I'm just going to say, if your hope in God is tied to your earthly circumstances and situations, at some point you will feel like God has let you down. You'll feel that, okay? So Romans chapter 8, let's start in verse number 18. Here we go. Paul writes this. He says, "What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." We're talking to people who are persecuted, people who are seeing family members die. You know, this is horrendous suffering beyond what most of us could ever imagine. That's what this is. Okay, and he writes, "Your suffering right now is not that big a deal." Come on, Paul, what a jerk. I mean, like seriously, it's not that big a deal compared to the glory that God will show us later. Like the amazingness that is coming to those who trust in Jesus. And he writes it. Paul, have a little sympathy here. These people are suffering. It's horrendous stuff. But understand that Paul, and you see this all over in his writing, Paul just carries with him a different way to view things. He sees things in such a different way than the normal person, like a different perspective is a way we could say this. Okay, he continues, verse number 19. Okay, we suffer now it's nothing compared to what was come. And then, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are." Verse 20, "Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope," now there's a word, okay, "eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay," okay? There's so much in this, but we have to move quickly. The idea here, God's creation is messed up, okay? We're talking about the earth here, the life that you and I currently live. This is not the way that it was created to be in the very beginning. We know this from other places in Scripture. Sin is the issue. Sin has junked up this place that you and I live in. We talked about that extensively a few months ago in a series that we called The Kingdom of God. God's creation was perfect. There was no pain, no death, no anything like that, nothing in that direction at all. But God also created humanity with the ability to choose. To choose how we would live our lives, to choose whether or not we would love God, follow God, or kind of make our own paths. And humanity's sin brought chaos, destruction, and disease. But Paul writes, like, with eager hope, creation looks forward to the day when it will join in God, with God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. The picture here. The earth and everything in it will one day be restored, will be brought back into the way that it was initially meant to be. All of the sin, the destruction, the chaos will be no more as God kind of fixes it all. And creation, Paul says, waits with this eager hope for that day. There's our word, okay? This expectation, this desire for that to happen. Verse 22, "For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up until the present time." Paul uses the illustration of childbirth. Now, like, think with this with me, okay? Women, you're pregnant. It's not fun. You feel like a whale. Your body aches and hurts. You can't sleep, okay? You can't get comfortable. You're filled with all sorts of emotion. Your life is the very definition of the word chaos. Would you agree with me? A pregnant lady. Some of you are glaring at me. I'm sorry. All right? But understand, like, it's the definition of the word chaos, a pregnant woman in that way. But everything is pointing to this thing that is going to happen. in the future, when all of this will be made right and this amazing human being is going to enter the world. Like, it's a perspective change. Because understand, it can be easy, ladies, when you're in the middle of it and you can't sleep at night and your body hurts and everything is going on and your life feels like chaos in that moment. It can be so easy to get caught up in all of that. But when you take a step back, when you see things in a different way, and you remember the life that is coming, or looking back, you remember the life that came through all of that. Some of you are like, no, it's just awful. Okay. But it's the illustration that Paul gives here. Verse 23, and we believers also groan. We're wrapping this up in a moment. We also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of the future glory. As Christians, we're tasting some of what is coming, all right? For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering, okay? Here's the words we just read, future glory, long for our bodies to be free from the sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope. This is talking about Christians now. Before, it talked about creation waiting. Christians also are waiting with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved, okay? Creation waits with eager hope. Now it's like we do too. As Christians, we wait with eager hope. Understand, our hope in Jesus is not that he's going to fix our situations here, right now. It's simply not. That is a misunderstanding of the hope that comes in Jesus. As Christians, like, this is temporary. This is not forever. This is a grain of sand on an entire beach of years is what this is. And at some point, God is going to put things back the way that it intended to be, and we get to be a part of that as believers. But for most of us here today, like right now, all that we see are the trees. All that we see, like, we're just doing our best to navigate our way through the woods and not take a branch in the eye. And there's things trying to trip us, and it's muddy over here, and we're falling, and we have pain, and we have issues, and everything is all around us in this way. Music team, will you please come? Now, let me tie all of this together and hopefully kind of bring this to a close. I am not saying that your situation doesn't matter. I'm not saying that the things that you're going through are not real and that they do not hurt. And I'm certainly not saying that God doesn't care about that stuff, because of course he does. We serve the God that says, cast your cares on me because I care for you, and come to me all who are weary and I will give you rest. And we constantly see in the pages of Scripture a God who is completely in every way, like in every way involved in the lives of people here and now. The issue is not in praying for miracles or trusting God to meet our earthly needs. The issue is at the very root of who we are as Christians. What is our hope in? Because if your hope is tied to the things that you are going through, and it doesn't go past that at all, let me just tell you, God is going to let you down in that area. Because every one of us is going to die unless Jesus comes back and all this happens now, okay? It's not gonna turn out the way that you want it. At some point, this very week, someone from our church family passed away. Bev Newman and her family right now is dealing with that. We prayed for her. God let us down. It's the way that we can view this if we have a misunderstanding what God is asking us to do today. And I was kind of handed this topic of hope today. And as I dove into this, it was like, our hope as Christians is in what's to come. our hope in Christians. God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus to die, to be born. Christmas, we celebrate to die, to be raised from the dead, to go through all of that, to bring hope of an eternity free of pain, free of suffering, free of all of that. There's something bigger happening here, and it's God's plan to make all things new. Please stand with me all over this place. So, final question here. So how do we respond to the situations and circumstances we face? We look to God. We seek His face. We reach out to Him. We allow Him to use those things to change us, to use those things to strengthen us, to bring us closer to Him. All the while, and this is key, all the while knowing that God has already won. Knowing that there's so much more going on here than we could ever imagine. Knowing that when we're standing in the middle of the woods, we are not seeing the big picture of a God who wants to make all things new. With no one looking around for just a moment, kind of a privacy and reflection before we go, how many of you would just simply say, Pastor Kyle, I'm in a season of difficulty, and I want to begin to see God in the way that I should. And I want to respond to my difficulty in the way that I should. If that's you, just quickly show me your hand. I just want to pray for us. Hands all over this place. Lord, I pray right now. We pray for those who are dealing with this junk, whatever it is, sickness and disease and family issues and work stuff and emotional needs and all of these things that in a way seem to consume every moment, overwhelm us. It's all we see, God. It's all we know right now. It's because we're in the middle of this. Lord, I pray, God, that as we experience You in the middle of the storm, no matter how it turns out, no matter how this ends, we know that You have won. We know, God, that You have used this and that You will use it for good. We know that You still care about us, even though we may not understand, we may not get it. God, help us to see this in a little bit of a different way today. God, help us to place our hope in what You have done through Jesus for our eternity to make all things new. In Your name, I pray. One final thing here before we go. How many in this place would just be honest with me and you would just say, Pastor Kyle, I've never responded to the message of Jesus. Maybe you're online right now and that's where you're at. You know you're not right with God. Your sin has separated you from God. It's why He sent Jesus to die for you. And if you will turn from your sins, if you will put your trust in Jesus, He will change things for you. And then the Bible says you can be saved. You can be saved. If that's you today and you'd say, I want that today. If that's you, just quickly show me your hand. I just want to pray for you. Show me your hand quickly. Anyone at all? If you're online right now, click on a little button that says respond or raise a hand or something like that. You can respond to this message right now, even if you are behind a screen. Church, can we just say a prayer together, everyone in this place? Let's just pray. Pray, Father God, I give You my life. Thank You for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In Your name I pray. Amen, amen. Can we celebrate that together? Come on, everybody. Thank You, God. Worship You, God. God, I pray that as we walk out these doors today, that we would have a different idea of hope. That our hope would not be rooted in our circumstances, but that our hope would be rooted in You, oh God, and what You have done and what You will do, God, in the future. We love You, we need You, and it's in Your powerful name, Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen.